Our topic this month has been led by the Spirit, and so we're going to continue that, and I wanted to bring out a few deeper things about being led by the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit leads us in a dangerous place. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk where? The valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Sorry, why I was laughing is I was driving and she started taking off her clothes. I said, what are you doing? I kept my eyes like this. I said, what? She said, I'm hot. I'm changing. So anyway, God is so merciful. I said, I'm a pastor and I'll pray for you, but you need to make better choices. You know, she started crying and telling me she was just looking for love and companionship. And I said, but God can provide those things for you. You know, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to not have a happy outcome. It's so sad when you see people hurting and looking in the wrong direction. Her name is Terry, so let's remember to pray for her. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So sometimes the Spirit of the Lord will lead us in a direction that isn't a safe space on the face of it, but if he's there, amen. So we need to be following the Spirit, following the Spirit. I'm going to go into a little bit of that coming up. Led by the Spirit means walking in the Word. I'm going to recap some of the things we've been over. Led by the Spirit means hearing his voice. Led by the Spirit means walking in obedience. Of course, next week, led by the Spirit means killing the flesh. What does walking in obedience mean? Well, in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, it says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Wow. You know, years ago when I first read that scripture, I thought, well, God is telling him to be perfect. But I came to understand that what God was saying is, you start the journey. I'm going to declare those things are not as though they be. As long as we're on the journey, we give God the privilege of saying, I'm going to count it as if you've reached. Do you understand what he was saying? Start the journey and I declare you perfect. Do you understand? That's so amazing. The moment Abraham started to walk in obedience, God was calling him perfect. That's what it says in Romans. Calls those things that are not as though they be. As long as you are on this journey, as long as you are not stopping, as long as you haven't quit, God is looking at the end. God is looking at your destination, where you would be perfect, but he's counting it now. And whenever we could really understand that, would give us such faith and such joy that God is not looking at you the way you are really now. Because if he was, he'd give up. You ever wanted to give up on somebody? Been several times as a pastor, I've wanted to give up on people. But you know what keeps me? I say, Lord, you haven't given up on me yet. I'm not perfect, and yet he has not given up on me. Amen. So God told him, listen, just start in obedience, and I declare you perfect. You know, if God declares something, that's the highest you can go. That's above the Supreme Court. If God says, I call you perfect, the Bible says in Romans, it was counted unto Abraham for righteousness. For righteousness. He was declared by God to be righteous just because he started walking. He was not in actuality perfect. Because you know that some of the things he did, right? He had a lapse of faith when the promise of the son did not come. And his wife said, why don't you take my handmaid? That wasn't God's perfect will. He was supposed to have waited. The other time he got into a bit of a panic when he was in Egypt and he told the king she was my sister. You know, there were times when Abraham's faith, even though he's called the father of the faithful, even he, but he was human, he was a man. But yet God called him my friend because he never gave up. He tried. He started the journey. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his feet, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. It's so hard for us to believe that God could look at us as perfect. At least it's hard for me. You know why? I know all my faults and failings. I know all the things that are wrong with me. So it's very hard for me to imagine God looking at me and calling me perfect. And that's what we got to get over, because the devil will reinforce that. He will try and sap your faith and say, God is finished with you. He's not listening. That's what he tells you. Am I the only one he tells that? No? Okay, you're all walking in strong faith. That's great. I love that. Amen. But that's his way of taking away your faith, is to say, you've messed up. You are no good. You're a failure. But what I'm trying to tell you, as long as you're on the journey, as long as you're putting one foot in another, and I know I've said this before, he declares you perfect. Now, let me show you something, how the trick of the devil works. He will try and make you lose faith. He will try and make you lose faith. Look at this. In Numbers 13:1, Israel had started on the journey, right? They had left Egypt. They were being led at night by a pillar of fire and by day by the cloud, right? They were being led. Think about it. If you could see this pillar of fire at night and the cloud by day, we would think that we would have faith. We would think, well, there's with my own eyes, I can see a symbolic representation of God right there. And yet, even with that, they went through doubt. And I would be highly critical of them, but that's me too. God can just have done some great miracle for you where you absolutely know God did it. And yet you face the next challenge and you're ready going, well, yes, he got me through that, but now I'm facing this. Let's look at this. Numbers 13:1. They came from Egypt up to the promised land in 2 years. They had gone all the way from Sinai to the promised land the first time in 2 years. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall he send a man, every one a ruler among them. Actually, this relates to Tuesday Bible study. I wonder if anyone can get the... I was going to wait till Tuesday, but I'll give you a hint. Since you guys bothered to come this morning, how many did he send ahead? How many did he choose to send ahead? How many tribes are there? Okay. So how many were sent ahead? 12. They were sent ahead. Right? Revelation from each tribe, first fruits, 12,000 from each tribe. Do you see the significance? They were sent ahead. Someone asked me, where did they go? Well, I won't speculate, but here's a hint. Anyway, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them, because everything that's in the Old Testament is a reflection of something that was going to be fulfilled. And so he chose special people out of each tribe to send ahead into the promised land, right? In Revelation we see, and I shouldn't really be going there this morning, but we see the 12,000 from each tribe that were the first fruits, okay, that were in the, as I've been teaching, in the resurrection with who? Christ went ahead. Anyway, and Moses, by the command of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And they went and came to Moses. They went and they were gone 40 days. And they came back to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Canaan, and brought back word unto them, saying, all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And apparently one cluster of grapes was so big that one person couldn't carry it. They had to put it on a stave. The land was so fruitful. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. That was the good part. But then here comes the negative nabobs. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak. Anak The children of Anak were the descendants of what's known as the Anakims. The Anakims. The Nephilim, in other words. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched on the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are of great stature." Makes me think of Milwaukee. Who would want to take over Milwaukee? It's a mess. The devil has strongholds here. We can't do nothing about it. It's just, you might as well just knock it down. They came back with a negative report, forgetting that they could look right up into the sky. Right there sitting over them was what? A cloud. The Spirit of Almighty God that had brought the Nile and turned it into blood, that had brought a plague on Egypt, that had parted the Red Sea, that had destroyed Pharaoh's army, that had made water come out of a rock, that had turned bitter water, poisonous water, sweet. They were staring up at the Spirit of God standing right above them. They came back and said, "We can't do nothing about this. It's a mess. We can't take Milwaukee. It's hopeless. There's so much degradation and stuff here. It's a spiritual stronghold." Isn't that terrible how our flesh gets the better of us? Even though God has just done an amazing thing. That's our human nature. That's our human nature, right? The disciples had just seen Jesus feed 5,000, and they got into a boat, and he made them get into the boat and told them, "I'm going to meet you on the other side." And there comes a storm, and they start to get fearful. Even though he told them, "I am going to meet you on the other side." Which, if God tells you he's going to meet you on the other side, means you are going to make it to the other side. You know, we're critical of them and we say, "Man, I'd never be like that." But you know what? We are. That's why we need God's grace. Verse 32, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we are gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. And we saw the giants,'" that's the Nephilim, "'the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers.'" And so we were in their sight. Forgetting that they had destroyed Egypt, the armies of Egypt, that God had, and forgetting that right above them was the Spirit of the Lord. We are so fearful so many times. We are so fearful. You know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. I've been in enough, at least two very, very serious accidents, which if it wasn't for God's presence, I would be dead. So for me now to start worrying is kind of foolish, but yet sometimes I do. Sometimes you do, despite the miracles that God has brought you through. And we saw the giants there. So even though they were being led of the Spirit, they started to look as if they were going to have to do the fighting, as if they had made the sea dry up, as if they had made the water come out the rock. We are facing many times impossible situations, isn't that right? Impossible situations. But if it's an impossible situation, you might as well just give it to God straight away, right? Because we can't handle it anyway. I mean, and sometimes God gives us impossible situations to test our faith, to let us see what we're going to do. Or at least he allows things to happen in our lives so that we come to a point, a decision point. Are we going to give it to God, or are we going to give up and say, I can't handle this? So we see them losing faith. Numbers 13:26. They said there were giants in the land, which there were. What they came back with was the truth. But as I've told you so many times, you know, in court when you go to a judge, they make you put your hand on the Bible and they say, "You swear to tell the truth." And they have another part, the whole truth. It's the whole truth that makes a difference. Truth, yes, there were giants in the land. They were stronger than Israel. But it wasn't the whole truth. You know what the whole truth was? There was a cloud above them. Amen. That was the whole truth. And when God is above you and says, "I'm going to take you into this land," You have to accept the whole truth. Sister Johnny.
I just want to say this, Pastor. This morning, this man, I was coming out of McDonald's, and this man was dressed in a nice suit. And he said, at first he told me he was a pastor. And he said, he approached me. He said, I know you are a woman of God. And he said, would you come and sit in my car? I need to speak with you about something. And I was thinking to myself, now, why would he want me to sit in his car? And as I opened the door and got in his car, he had a phone laying up there. And this man was on the phone, and he was just crying, and he was pouring his heart out. And the pastor said, I have a real woman of God that I want you to speak to. And I thought, well, you're a pastor, and you want him to speak to me? I'm thinking to myself, like, you want him to speak to me? And so as the man started to talk on the phone, I started to listen at him to see where he was at. And he'd been in church. He's been baptized. And he's just been going to church. So the Lord said, speak to him. So I started to encourage him about coming to the church and having you speak with him to encourage him and talk to him. And so then I got to a point where the Holy Ghost rose up in me and said, tell him what he's really missing. And I told him, I said, I hear what you're saying. And I said, now I understand what the problem is. He said, what's the problem? I said, you need the Holy Ghost. And he said, the Holy Ghost? And he said, I said, have you been born again? And he said, no. He said, I've been baptized, but I haven't been born again. And he said, I have no joy or no love. And I said, that's the reason why. I said, you've been living off your own flesh and how you want to do things. And I said, sometimes you get to a point in your life where that just overtakes you if you don't have the Spirit. So then the pastor said, well, he said, well, if he confessed with his mouth and believed in his heart, then he's saved. I said, no, Pastor. I said, no, that's not biblical. I said, that's to the Roman church, which they was already saved. And I told the pastor, I said, we must do it the way the Bible say. We have to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And so I ended up ministering to the pastor and to this young man whose name is Sean. And I told him, because he was so distraught, and I told him, I said, if you come to the church, to Rehoboth, to the house of God, I said, we will lay hands on you like they did in the Bible days. And I said, God is going to speak to you, and he's going to fill you with the Spirit. So I'm actually looking for him to show up here today.
Amen. 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 You know, as I said, it's funny. We have already come through all kinds of things in our lives, and yet when we face a new giant, we get so scared. We get so panicky. It says, and they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and all the congregation. They showed them the fruit, but they also brought back an evil report and were in panic. And you know what happened? Because of that, because of their lack of faith, they had to go 40 years round and round more into the wilderness. Sometimes we miss our blessing by just not reaching out in faith at that point and trusting God. And we delay God's blessing. The same thing happened, of course, to Abraham. Even though he left Ur of the Chaldees, the Bible said he made a couple mistakes. God had told him, leave your family. But he brought everybody with him. And then what happened is they stopped. When they came to Haran, they stopped for about 5 years. He stopped. Who to tell if that didn't delay the promise of his son? Because he stopped. It wasn't until his father Terah died that he started back on the journey. Sometimes we let things, people, delay our blessing. God has said, leave your family. Because God knew that if he brought everybody who were idol worshipers, who were, their mind was, you can't bring everybody with you, unfortunately. Sometimes you have to recognize that salvation is a personal thing. Bible says you have to make your calling and election sure, but you have to work out your what? Own salvation. As much as I love my children, all I can do is speak to them. They're going to, in the final analysis, it's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. So we see in the children of Israel, although they had been led through 10 plagues, led through crossing the Red Sea, led through water coming into a rock. They come to the next big test of actually going into the promised land, and they fail. They lost faith.
But I was reading this, the psalm that you began with, the verse where it talks about paths of righteousness. It talks about he refreshes and restores, he restores my soul and leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And the words paths of righteousness has been going through my mind for the past couple of weeks. So when you read it this morning, and I know there's a deeper meaning to it, but there are paths of righteousness that God will lead us on. Just as if you take a wrong road, if I'm aiming to get to the church, I do not want to go down Fondulac and keep going. I have to go on that path. And there are paths of righteousness that God will lead us on if we will submit our lives to him. But it says here that he leads me in paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for earning it, but for his name's sake. And that he will restore and refresh our lives and lead us on paths of righteousness. Not, and just like with Abraham, he had to follow a certain path, and we cannot expect to get where we're going unless we walk in paths of righteousness and realize that it's not for our own self, but it's for his name's sake, and that by doing that, he will restore and refresh us and make us more like him. Just paths of righteousness. We have to walk in those paths.
Amen. 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 You know, it's so true, because we see that God told them to go that way. There's many other ways of getting to Canaan, but God led them to the path where they had to cross the Red Sea. And there was a reason for that. We see that what happened next over the next 40 years, instead of them thinking, you know, or we think a lot of times God is testing us, but you know what really is the truth? We're testing God. Look what Psalm 78, 18 says. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. God had already given them food in the desert. Their clothes never wore out. Every time they went in the closet every morning, everything looked brand new. Never had to go to the shop. Never had to go to Macy's, Target. Never had to buy anything. And yet they were always complaining. Always complaining. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, he can. Isn't that what Psalms 23 says? He prepares a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. Behold, he smote the rock and waters gushed out. He made water come out of a rock and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Amen. You know that scripture, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. When I was going in my teenage years and I didn't think I was too righteous, I always said, well, I know my father. I know my father's a praying man, so he's still got to provide for me. Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. I'm sure sometimes we tempt God just the same way. We get a huge bill or we get some situation and we're flesh. We're going to get weak. But what we have to do is remember all the things he's already done for us. All they had to do was remember, but wait a minute. It was just as impossible when we were facing the Red Sea. We had Pharaoh's armies behind us. We had mountains on each side, and we had a water in front of us. That was no worse than what you're facing today. And God opened the sea. He made us pass over on what? Dry ground. Dry ground. That means he can do it again. He can do it again. If you're facing a Red Sea, it's just so that God can show his glory and his miraculous power. Amen?
Amen.
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 I helped out someone last week and put myself in a little bit of position. But you know what? God always shows up. I got a letter from my mortgage company. And I thought, oh, well, it's the statement. They're just giving me another bill to tell me that my mortgage is due. So I opened it up, and it was a rebate. For almost as much as I had helped the person out for, saying, we've just evaluated your escrow account, and you've overpaid, so we're sending you this check back. Isn't God good? All the time. When you stretch out on faith, God always, at least all I can say, he has never, ever, ever, ever failed me. Not because I'm good. No, I'm not. But for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down not water, but food, manna, angel food, upon them to eat, and given them the corn of heaven, given them food that nobody else has ever had. Angel food. I don't mean the cake, I mean the real thing. That's what verse 25 says. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. And so that's why God was so mad with them. What was he possibly going to do? Sometimes we cannot see ourselves how faithless we are. Because if you look back on your life and look at the miracles, how God has saved you, even when you didn't realize it, even when you didn't know you were in danger, the times God has delivered you, you know? And we whine and complain. And so God got mad with them. See, another aspect of being led, as I said, sometimes he leads us into a place of where you're going to have to see who you really are. I told you the story. I've been listening to some historical books on the time of Jesus during the Roman Empire. And in one of the books I had listened to, the group of believers were having a service, and then the Roman soldiers came and burst in and had spears and swords and said, okay, everyone who doesn't want to die for Christ, you may leave now. You can leave now. If you will recant, you can leave. We're not going to hurt you. Everyone else who's willing to die for Christ, you stay right here. And one or two people left. Then the Roman centurion said, I'm a Christian. I just wanted to not reveal myself to people who weren't 100%. You get it? He wanted to see who was really. God will want to sometimes see really if you're faking it. He'll put you in a situation where you'll have to either depend on him and we'll see who your real father is, or you'll like them, you'll say, okay, this is too much. I got to get out of here. So the centurion and the soldiers that came were Christians, but they didn't want to reveal themselves to people who were lukewarm, who might betray them. So they said, okay, everyone who wants to live can leave. So a few people left, and then when they went, they shut the door and they said, we're Christians too. I bet those people that left when they found out later were embarrassed at the least. Here's an amazing scripture. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Talking about being led by the Spirit, which is our topic. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into a happy place. Into a beautiful place. Into a place of luxury and ease. And a place of into the wilderness. Now, we want to blame the devil for everything, but there may be a purpose in you being led a certain place. I wanted to blame the devil for everything Friday night because I didn't want to get out of my bed and go the first place, the first time, and then I come back and there's this lady. But you know, after I thought about it, I said, well, thank you, Lord. Maybe I saved that lady's life. We can look at things negatively, or we can, in all things, give thanks. Paul says, I have learned. And you have to learn this. I have learned. So you have to have some experience. Once you've been through some things, you can say, I have learned that in all situations to be content and to give thanks. Because really, either we believe that verse in Romans or we don't, right? You know the one? And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And we know. If you don't know the first three words, then the rest of it don't mean anything. And you know. Okay, so my car won't start. And we know. Maybe God is protecting you from an accident. If you can't find your keys in the morning and you're frustrated, maybe God is protecting you from something else. And we know. Do you know? See, if we really believe that, when the world's negative things happen, we will just take a deep breath and say, Jesus, thank you, Lord. I don't understand what's going on, but I'm going to trust you. Okay? You're doing this for a reason. Maybe we'll find out later. You'll drive by the accident through the intersection. You'll go, wow, did this just happen? You ever experienced that where you just missed an accident? You know, something delayed you? I used to have to travel a lot, and every now and then I was late for a plane. And anytime I was late, I could get frustrated and think, oh man, now look what's happened. But I would just say, well, Lord, that wasn't the plane I was supposed to get on. Maybe there's a person you're going to sit on the next plane and you're going to witness to. You'll never see them again. That happened to me. That happened to me coming back from about 3 years ago, coming back from California. I sat on a plane next to a lady. And she turned out to be in the Air Force, and she was a pilot. And I gave her some, I never seen her again, or, you know, she was getting mad. Who knows? Who knows what seed you plant just because you miss a plane? And when we are in faith, we are a child of God, then there is no such thing as coincidence. There's only two choices, his choice and mine. And if I'm doing his choice, there's no coincidence. Now, if you're doing your choice, yeah, there can be some negative things happen, right? And so Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Lord, why? Into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be a son of God, because temptation's all about the devil challenging your sonship. You're going to have to prove your sonship. He's not going to let you just say, I'm a son of God. That won't work with him. He's going to say, if you are a son of God, prove it then. Right? Prove it. If you're a son of God, you're going to react to certain things differently than if you're not a son of God. So your sonship, all of us are at some point going to have our sonship challenged, because we come here and we say, I'm a child of the King, don't we? Yes. I'm a servant of the living God. Well, Satan is not going to just take your word for it. He's going to want to test you. He's going to want to see how much sonship do you have when someone's talking bad about you. Huh? How much sonship do you have when someone promised you something and they didn't do it? How much sonship do you have, like this morning, when you're trying to get to church and all the roads are blocked? Right? Led of the wilderness. Into the wilderness. See, this is all part of testing your sonship. And it shows us where we are. It's a good thing, just like Abraham, as long as you're continuing to walk, God declares you what?
Perfect.
As long as you're continuing to walk, God will declare you perfect. And the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. Now, there wasn't anything wrong with Jesus doing that per se. But if you notice, during his life, he never once did a miracle for his own personal benefit. That was part of the trick here, was the devil wanted him to do something that may not be available. What's going on here? Brother Leonardo, please sit down. See, that's the trick of the devil right here, okay? Okay. That's the trick of the devil. It's okay. It's okay. We're in church, okay? I know. Right. But we're in church now, okay? Everything's okay. I know. Right. Do you want to talk with him outside then? Okay. All right then. But don't get into anything with him. See, the devil just wants to come and to kill and to destroy and to cause destruction. But we're not going to give him any place today. Amen. He will try and test your sonship. The devil will try and test your sonship. No, I'm not talking about you. And Jesus answered and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God. See, Satan will try and bring situations to take away your peace and to test your sonship. And that's what we got to watch out for. As I said, I could tell this morning he's on the warpath. He just wants to bring doubt and to bring chaos and confusion. And you see how Jesus answered him? He said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. We have to depend upon the word of God. Only the word of God can really answer the situation. Only the word of God can deal with situations. And we have to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, because sometimes he will lead us into a wilderness situation where we're tested, where we're tempted. And sometimes he will call us into a different direction than the way we thought we were going. Let me show you this. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 9, Paul had a vision. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. That's why we got to be sensitive to the Spirit, because if we're not sensitive, we may miss when God is speaking to us. It said, he had a vision, coming over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. There can be times when God wants to use us and we're not listening. We're not sensitive to his call, right? So we miss an opportunity where God could have used us, where God could have flowed through us. So we have to be sensitive to the Spirit's call. And we see that Paul was very sensitive to the Spirit. You ever had an impression to go to speak to someone and you just resisted it? I've done it before, because I look at the person and I say, no, I don't want to really do that. Who to tell? I've tried to change and not be like that. But sometimes the devil gets to you. But if we were sensitive, imagine how much we could let the Spirit use us and have the Spirit flow through us. But the other opposite thing can happen too. It says here, sensitive to the Spirit's call. But sometimes we have to be sensitive to the Spirit's warning. Look at this. In the same verse, same chapter of Acts, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them decrees for to keep and were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, verse 6, look at this, very important. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Isn't that amazing? For some reason, God did not want them to go a certain place. Now, the scripture does not explain why or how that happened. But if we're sensitive to the Spirit, it'll keep us out of a lot of trouble. If we are sensitive to the Spirit, there may be places that, you know, there's nothing sinful about it, but there may be a danger there, or there may be a situation God is trying to save you from. And when, verse 6, and when they were gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word. Now you may say, well, God called me to do that. Well, there may be a reason why God says, I don't want you to go there right now. And so we have to be sensitive when the Spirit does direct us to go somewhere, and also when the Spirit says, don't go somewhere. Because it's not everywhere we're supposed to go. God may have had a perfect reason for Paul not to go there. Maybe he was going to be arrested. Maybe something else is going to happen. So that's when we have to yield to the Spirit and be sensitive to the Spirit. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. They were going to go somewhere else, and the Spirit suffered them not. And I put on there, if God shuts a door, stop banging on it. I'll come down there so that everyone can hear you. Make it easy. No, no. I know you have the...
I know sometimes we get so consumed and caught up in everyday things, and your mind is doing 15,000 things at once, and it's hard to hear the Holy Spirit when you got so much noise going on. But I remember driving down Fond du Lac Avenue, and I wasn't speeding or anything, and I was just thinking about what I was going to do and what I had to do when I got there and all manners of things like that. And I was approaching the Locust Street light on Fond du Lac, and I clear had the green light to go. There were cars on both sides of the, on the other sides of the opposite sides of the intersection, stopped at the stoplight, and I had the right of way. But I remember just as clear in the middle of a thought, the Holy Spirit speaking, you know, where you go from one thing completely to something different, and I knew it was the Lord. And he says, to be careful, stop accelerating, cover your brakes. And this is a clear green light. I thought, well, okay, Lord, you know. But I remember thinking to myself that was so soft that I could have easily just let that go right on out of my mind because I'm concentrating on something else. And I don't know, maybe it's kind of hard to say when you're moving, but not that much of a distance to actually going through the intersection. I says, no, that just popped in from out of nowhere. So I stopped accelerating and I covered my brakes. And it was just enough time that had I not done it, I would have undoubtedly been dead. Because you know how they steal cars and they just recklessly. Well, he had to go around two other cars to run the light that were stopped at the light. And he came through that intersection with such speed that had I not slowed down, he would have broadsided me. And as fast as he was going, I'm pretty sure that would have been the end of me. But that's what it, you know, listening and being careful to listen for the Holy Spirit is to protect you. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And I've had that happen so many times where that exact thing what you just said happened. In fact, just about 3 weeks ago, at the corner of 20th and Fond du Lac, that same thing happened. And this car came cutting right in front of me, and if I hadn't slowed down, and then I saw the police come behind them, and they were chasing. I think you were in the car with me, and it was totally amazing, because if I had just been going a bit faster, we would have certainly had an accident. So we have to be sensitive, and you know, that sometimes that's hard. And so we have to actually intentionally, sometimes when we're dealing with a lot of drama, just to say, okay, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to listen and ask God to speak to me and direct me. That's what we have to do. And in fact, it's in those noisy times when there's all kinds of stuff going on is when you have to really just say, okay, Lord, speak to me. We talked about that last week about Samuel learning to recognize when God is speaking to you. And if we don't, we're usually going to end up getting burnt or getting in trouble. So we see there's two things. One, responding to the Spirit's call when Paul got the vision from Macedonia and he was led to go there. And then here, he was told not to go some places that he thought it was okay to go. And God said, no, don't go there yet. The trouble with us sometimes, we're so deaf that, as I put there, we keep banging on the door. God has shut it, and we're trying to open it. And he's trying to protect us. And we don't realize that, right? We're trying to open the door, and it's danger. And that's the reason why God has shut it. So we have to be sensitive. Sometimes if a door gets shut, an opportunity gets shut, we have to say, and I know all things. And we just have to be content and understand that God has a purpose and a direction in our lives. We have to be listening, as you said, and sensitive to the Spirit. Because that's when I've gotten in trouble. That's when I've gotten in trouble. When I've gone down a road and not been listening. God has just been merciful sometimes that he's not made the consequences as bad as it could have been. But if we would listen, we would get ourselves out of so much trouble. I told that young lady, I said, you know, you have to start making better choices. You have to start making better choices. You can't keep banging your head and asking why you have a headache. Right? Banging your head on the wall will give you a headache, and you keep on doing that and then say, God, why is this happening to me? That's what I told her. I said, you need to change your life. And God loves you. God will give you what you need. God will provide for you. He will open doors, but we have to be sensitive to listen to him. Amen. See, it's a journey. Abraham did not reach Canaan overnight, but the moment he started taking the first step, God declared him perfect. We have to be led to sonship. Listen to this. A child is one born of God. A son is one taught of God, because you teach. A child has God's nature. A son has God's character. I'll say it again. A child is one born of God. A son is one taught of God. A child has God's nature. A son has God's character. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become. It's a process. You know, I won't get rid of, say, my temper overnight. It's a process. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever situation I found to be. He had to go through some things to learn that. Sonship is a process. It's a journey. We don't become perfect overnight, even though God is giving us, declaring that, and he's attributing that. It's a process. We have to grow. Amen? We have to grow. Sister Anita?
I stand before you humbly admitting and grateful, so grateful to God that I am on that particular journey. I know now how to deal with the flesh a lot more than I used to, because I am on that journey, and I'm so glad to be on that journey. There are times when I should not speak, whereas before I would speak and think not too much about it. I know now how to be silent in God's name, and I appreciate that. I appreciate my being able to read the Bible diligently, faithfully, not always understanding everything that I read, asking for clarity.
Amen.
And wisdom. I appreciate your teaching. I appreciate the fellowship. I'm just grateful.
Amen. Lord, amen. Sister Anita, I have seen you on the journey. I have seen you on the journey. Amen. You are not the same as you were when you first came here. Amen. 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 I have seen you make a step, and you the beautiful thing is, as I said, God calls those things that are not as though they be. Amen. God has got you on this journey, and he has not left you alone. Amen. And I'm so grateful for our church family that this is a spiritual hospital. Amen. We're not the church of the rich and famous. We don't have all the most beautiful building. But we can have the most beautiful people. That's what we can have. Amen. We can have beautiful people, because this building is not the church. You make the church. The people make the church. So sonship, being led by the Spirit, is a process. It says, to them gave he power to become. If something is becoming, it's not there yet. Paul said at the end of his life in Philippians, he said, I press towards the mark of the high calling, which is in what? And he goes on to say, it's not as if I have as yet attained. Right? He's not, the great apostle Paul at the end of his life says, it's not as if I'm all that. But I'm pressing towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ. As long as you're pressing, as long as you're not giving up, as long as you're fighting, as long as you're letting the word wash you, as long as you're coming, as long as you're worshiping, God is declaring you perfect. He's saying, I call those things that are not as though they be. Amen. Sonship is all about becoming. Romans 8:15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father. That's what it means. Abba means Father. We have been given the spirit of adoption that we can cry, Father. Most of the time when I pray, That's how I speak to God. I say, Father. It's just a habit I've developed that I look at him as my father. My earthly father has gone on to be with the Lord. So it's only my heavenly Father that I can depend on. See, he has given us the spirit of adoption. If you're led by the Spirit, it's being led into sonship to become the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. We're not a slave. We're not being made slaves, but we're being made sons. That's why he says, I'm going to call you my brothers. I'm not just going to call you my friends. Jesus said to his disciples, I'm not going to even call you brothers anymore. I'm not going to just call you friends. I'm going to call you my brothers. That's what he was saying. But ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry. We have the right to cry, Abba. That's why the Lord's Prayer is not an Old Testament prayer. No one in the Old Testament calls God Father. Only we have the right now to call him Father. That's why in the Old Testament they wouldn't even say the name of God. They had not the right to call him. They were fearful of taking his name in vain. And yet through Christ's death on Calvary, through the whole being led by the Spirit, Paul says, we have not only the right to call his name, we can call it as often as we like. In the Old Testament, they could not do that. Only the high priest would even dare utter the name of God. Only dare call upon his name. But now Jesus said to his disciples, when they asked him to teach us to pray, he says, our Father. We don't even realize how great an honor that is. In the Old Testament, they had no right to call him that. He was known by all kinds of names. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tisakenu, the Lord our banner, the Lord our salvation, the Lord Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. But they could not call him Father. See, becoming a son, being led by the Spirit, becoming a son in the New Testament, technon is the word, and it's one who is a descendant by birth. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become, again that word, become children of God in those who, what? Believe in his name. They couldn't call his name before. Beloved, now are we the children of God. And the way we're the children of God now is by God's declaration. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm going to hurry here. Being led by the Spirit is conforming to sonship. You know, a lump of coal and a diamond is actually the same element. A worthless lump of coal and a diamond is the same element. They're both carbon. You know what the difference is, of course? One has been through the heat, pressure, and fire. That's why it's valuable. God is conforming us, transforming us. That means sometimes we're going to be led by the Spirit into the wilderness, a wilderness experience. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Philippians 2:5, and I'm hurrying, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have to let the mind of Christ, we have to be centered. The Spirit will speak to us if we let it. It won't take over our body, it won't force us to do anything, but we will hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. See, people have been laughing at me and saying I'm making noises like my father, right? When my father got old and his hearing wasn't that good, he would go, huh? Huh? And guess what? I find myself going, huh? When you start to become transformed, you're going to be doing and saying like your heavenly father. You know that? When we're raised in a family, we say, okay, I'm never going to be like my dad or my mom, but Right? We always say we're never going to be like them. Never going to be like them. But because we don't realize it, we've been in that family so long. When we grow up, we find we're saying stuff. You catch yourself saying stuff that your parents used to say and acting in the same way and doing the same. See, that's what it means to be transformed. If we associate ourselves with God, our mind is going to, if we're just full of His word, of His, that's what's going to happen. We're going to be, we're going to start acting. We're going to let the Spirit start to have its full work through our lives. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to His image of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, going to be like father, like son. You ever heard them say that? He's just like his daddy. I want to be just like my daddy. I want to be more like my daddy than anything else. Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Again, it's a declaration. It's a declaration. Verse 45 says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Again, because we are sons, that doesn't mean we're not going to be led into the wilderness sometimes. It doesn't mean we're not going to have our sonship tested. He's going to want to see. You say you're a son of God? Okay. Let's see how you deal with this. How do you react with this? If you could stand with me. Go ahead. Last.
I just wanted to say something about the women's meeting that we had. And it's so amazing how God told me to speak to Sister Brownie. And I told her, you know, I have to confess that I really don't want to be here. It wasn't even my intention to come there. But I was out ministering, and the Lord just wouldn't leave me alone about coming to fellowship with the women of God. And so I realized once I got there, as we all began to speak, I realized that the Holy Ghost was rising up in me and God was going to use me to speak some things. And I just want to say, you know, to the church that I'm not here to make friends. I'm just not here to make friends or just be friendly with you. I have a calling on my life, a mandate on my life that I must do what God tells me to do. And sometimes, you know, it might seem hard, or I might speak to you in a way that might be hard, but I want to tell you today that it's not my intention to hurt nobody or to make nobody feel uncomfortable, but I have to do. I have no choice. I have to do what God wants me to do. And sometimes, you know, the Bible say that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to divide the spirit from the soul. So if the word of God is able to do that, then it's going to transform you. And then you might not want to really hear what the word of God says, but that's what it does. It's able to transform you and to make you more like Christ.
Amen. Amen. If you could all stand with me. The Bible says, and this is my last slide, we've got to be led by the Spirit to remain in His love. John 15:9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And now he gives a command. He says, now remain in my love. And I have a question. How do we remain in His love? Someone said some things? Obedience. Actually, that's how you remain in His love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. If we're led by the Spirit, we will remain in His love. The Bible says, speaking the truth in love. And that's how we know we're His disciples, when we show love one to another. That doesn't mean I don't tell you the truth, but I tell you the truth because I want to help you, not hurt you. Amen. Because I want to help you and not hurt you. And, you know, it's like raising children. There's ways of raising children where you can hurt their spirit or you can bless their spirit and encourage them. And I was so blessed that I had parents. Now, my father was extremely strict. Today, they probably, you know, have him arrested or something. But I'm well, I'm happy, and I'm grateful for his correction. Amen. I remember one time in service when I was like, I don't know, he came off the platform and took me outside. Oh, yes, he did. But it hasn't hurt me. It's made me who I am. The Bible says that he chastiseth them whom he loves. If God isn't dealing with you, that means you're not his son. Because he chastises them whom he loves. I always see parents when they let their children do anything, and I'm shaking my head like. But I knew that my parents loved me. I knew that my parents loved me. And just like Job, even though he slay me, yet will I serve him. So today we've finished our third week on being led by the Spirit. I hope you've been blessed. I talked about the wilderness experience. I talked about how we can lose faith. To me, that's the biggest shocker, that they could lose faith. They come all the way to the promised land. They could have made that journey 2 years instead of 40. And the most amazing thing about it, of course, is they came back and said, we can't take the land. And yet hanging right above them was what? The cloud. They could see the very presence of God physically right above them. And then they came back and said, no, we can't do it. To me, that's the greatest shock when you look at it. It said they tempted God. So as we are being led by the Spirit, let's not tempt God. No matter what you're facing, the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will do what? He will direct your path. Amen. So we're going to be led by the Spirit. We have to remain in his love. If you could bow your heads and your hearts with me. Father, we thank you for your presence today. Lord, let your word feed our soul. Hallelujah. Let us, oh God, just absorb what you're trying to tell us today, oh God, to keep in your love, to be obedient.